News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807, Mobile Mornings. I just checked the forecast for Dublin for the game tomorrow between Kansas State and Iowa State.
What's the temperature looking
like? It doesn't look like, it's not going to be Aaron related yet, if Aaron makes its way. No.
They've got time before Aaron shows up,
if it does. Right, so anyway, but it might as well be rainy and 71 degrees.
In Ireland?
Yep.
It's raining in Ireland?
I think
it rains there all the time, right?
Yeah, I think it does. That's why green's the color.
Listen, football isn't as new to Europe anymore with the NFL and college football in more recent years.
That's true.
So, I mean, when do you start to see them not care so much anymore? I don't know.
Not care?
Yeah, like when are they going to stop filling up? If this game draws like 8,000 people in Dublin, are they going to stop having the games over there or just get better opponents? I don't know.
I think what they do with it is they turn it into a
festival of sorts.
Well, probably that, because everything is marketed that way. So yeah, I would say yes. But also, it's a vacation opportunity for Americans from Kansas and from Iowa. I'm serious.
Oh, I'm sure.
So they go over there and they vacation around. It's like, well, we always wanted to go to Ireland. Never did, you know. A couple from the middle of America, and they're like, well, we could go to Ireland and watch our favorite team play.
Yeah.
And stadium's not that big. Might be 50,000, 40,000,
okay,
something like that.
I just think they would want to have Notre Dame there every year for those games. But I'm sure the Notre Dame fans on this side of the Atlantic would probably get tired of that.
Probably would. But I'm sure that they thought it was cool because Notre Dame was there a couple of years to go against Navy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they enjoyed that. But that's probably the way it's marketed is, hey, come on over to Ireland. Probably the NFL same way, too.
How long before we get a high school game on the other side of the pond?
Jackson
and Sarah Land.
Against Sarah Land in Dusseldorf. Hey, by the way, look at this breaking story up in Washington, D.C. right now. Not a red letter day for John Bolton. And did he see this coming? FBI agents raided the Maryland home of former National Security Advisor John Bolton this morning. They're in the midst of it right now. The search is focusing on potential classified documents Bolton may still possess. We've heard that story before, right?
Yeah.
Give them back. Bolton, who served as President Donald Trump's national security advisor from 2018 through 2019, or at least into 2019, is not in custody or under arrest. It is understood that Bolton was at home at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Yeah, and he wrote so they've been after him for a while, even during the first term, the Trump administration. Upset with Bolton because he put a memoir out, The Room Where It Happened, what it was called, and they insist that he was giving classified information in that book that he wrote. And so I'm not sure if these classified documents they're looking for are related to that or not, but reminiscent of the cameras being set outside the homes of, you know, Roger Stone and Mar-a-Lago and I believe at least a couple other raids on Trump allies and Trump himself during Biden's presidency. They had the Fox News cameras out there for the Bolton raid this morning in Bethesda.
Somebody tipped off Fox, right?
Yeah, they did.
So I guess it's Washington, D.C. Oh, no, it's Maryland, outside of Washington.
Mm-hmm. There in Bethesda is where his house is.
Right. So maybe since it's not in Washington, D.C., because what they could have done is just simply wait until his home eventually gets burglarized because of all the crime up there.
Yeah.
And then ask the burglar, could you give us the papers?
Did you find the papers? Now, if they're having trouble finding them, look under his mustache. That's just the only clue I'll give. He might be hiding some stuff there under the stash. A couple traffic texts, and thank you, keeping us updated on the text line. David said, apparently a fire truck backed into a garbage truck.
Ooh.
At the corner of Nichols Avenue and Greeno Road in Fairhope. So this is over in Fairhope. The garbage truck lost due to the law of gross tonnage, and it is currently on its side. Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope no one's hurt, obviously. But I like how you're discussing that as a one-on-one matchup, David. The garbage truck lost due to the law of gross tonnage. Mm. So the fire truck backed in, and the garbage truck ends up on its side.
Garbage truck and a fire truck.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Michael saying this morning, the lights on Spring Hill at McGregor and by Municipal Park are in flashing mode and backing traffic way up because dumb drivers who don't know how to treat flashing yellow lights. You've seen it once. You've seen it a million times around here.
And about that storm that I was in the middle of yesterday, and I can't believe we're not getting more comment on the text line about that rain. Because it was not like singularly affecting me only. A bunch of us were like stuck in this traffic, rain, thunder, crazy. But I was amazed. All of the lights along Dolphin trying to get to 65.
They were running?
They were operating perfectly.
Nice.
It was just really jammed up. It took me about 30 minutes to get from Florida to I-65.
Wow.
And I didn't see any accidents.
Does everyone get out of work now at like 3:30? It just seems like traffic has gotten insane in the late afternoon, mid-afternoon hours.
You got schools now back.
Schools
getting out and post-school activities, which, Coach,
I know
all about that because you were on campus well after the kids were out of school.
Yeah, my first coaching experience yesterday. And, of course, it was rained out after just a few minutes. So I'm looking forward to getting back out there next week. We have a lot we want to get to this hour. We'll see how much we can actually get to. And to kind of preview something a little later in the hour, as this Tony Kennan story continues to escalate, now we have a bit of a online war going on with Lanyap and 1819 News. So two news publications that we know well.
Yeah.
I like people on both sides, obviously, and they're pretty frustrated with one another and letting it out a little bit on social media. So we'll get into that, and also the genesis of this yesterday was Erica Thomas's sit-down interview with Mayor Kennan and his wife to respond to the allegations and the leaked body cam audio that Lanyap put out earlier this week. So we'll get into that. Also, Steve Flowers, the political analyst, I don't know how old he is now or how close his ear is to the political streets these days. He'll have you think that he knows everything that's going on, and maybe he still does. But he had an opinion on the Mobile mayoral race that I thought was interesting as well. So we'll try to get around to that.
Even if you don't read Lanyap or pick up the Lanyap and are aware of all the coverage that they've been providing voters in Orange Beach or all of us about this Tony Kennan story, you may hear Rob on our station once a week on Thursdays. And when we talk about what's in Lanyap, each week it's something new about Kennan that has been discovered or leaked and certainly published in Lanyap, 1819. So again, just by listening to Rob, you realize where their attention has been. And 1819 got into the fray with an opportunity for Kennan to explain himself.
Yeah, and his wife.
And his wife. So we'll get into that.
So I thought this was John Sharp, hats off, great work. Yesterday was 10 years since Donald Trump held what was his first stadium rally. And you know, if you know, it happened right here in Mobile, Alabama. And you know, I was around FM Talk 106.5. I guess I was at that point, 2015. I was a year and a half, 2 years into my job here.
Okay,
at FM
what was
Talk
it, what was your? You weren't co-hosting the morning show.
No, I'd step in every now and then if I needed to, but I was mostly just producing and answering phone calls. I talked to so many of you back then, and so many of our now passed on listeners over the years I used to have great conversations with off the air. But it was a big dang deal, not just for the city, but for our station. You know, we set up a tent, or we had help setting up a tent out there and had a ton of people come out. I remember we put on... If I remember correctly, I used some way to register how many people we had that were coming out for the actual FM Talk kind of tailgate before and we had hundreds of people that came out to see us and then worked their way into Ladd People Stadium for that rally, which ended up being a sign of so many things to come, as John Sharp points out in his AL.com article.
It is an amazing article because it reminds us of so many things like, that's right. One of the things that article reminds me about that I forgot and now am remembering through John's article is it wasn't chaotic necessarily leading up to it, but there was change of venues. There was, it's going to be held here. No, that it's going to be too big for that. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be here. No, it's too big for the Civic Center. And Ladd was kind of the last resort, right?
Yeah. And so when Trump was going through all this, and John in his article said he had already, I believe, worked his way to the top of the ticket in that GOP primary, with Jeb Bush being the main opponent there that he had to work through. And we all remember those GOP debates and yes. how Trump would go after all of them. But until this Mobile rally, the largest rally he had held had 5,000 people. And so he gets down here, and they see that 15,000 people wanted to come out to the Mobile rally.
Yeah.
That caused the venue change.
They had tickets that you could get.
You were just registering to go.
Yeah, okay.
And so they had 15,000 that said they wanted to come. The number ended up being bigger than that. And that was also, as Sean Sullivan quoted in this article, he caught so much flack back then, because I remember people were surprised at how many people came out to LAD.
Yeah.
So everyone was saying, well, how many people were there? And when you turned around and looked, and Sean's estimate, I thought, was pretty spot on. And I remember discussing it with him that day, because you had basically half of the grandstands filled, maybe a little further than half of the grandstands. You had them. So one end zone that Trump was standing in front of, yeah. that was completely full.
Yeah.
And then you had both the sidelines that were full, maybe halfway down, maybe yeah. a little bit further.
And then you had everybody on the field.
Everybody on the field yeah. as well. So I think Sean said it was around 22,000. That sounded right to me. Somewhere between 20, 25,000 people that were out there. But
who did he catch flack from?
Well, a ton of people that said, no, there were way more than 22,000 people out there.
Okay.
In the grand scheme of things, that wasn't a big deal. But that being a controversy on its own showed you what life was going to be like over the next decade.
So much from that one night yeah. and the lead up to it, Dalton, showed us the future, if you could, but you could not quite understand it at that time. Mm-hmm. In that moment, it was like, wow, this is something. And I mean, just the history of Donald Trump from that point on, mm-hmm. pretty amazing.
I think the reason so many people came out there, first off, politically, they were kind of seeing what Trump was setting up there.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, your leaders for
suck.
So many years have been doing things with your interest not in mine.
Yeah.
And people were picking up on that. But the real reason I think so many more people came out, it's a big deal when Trump comes to your town. Even back then in 2015, yeah. obviously, he was one of the most famous people in the country, not the most famous person in the world like he is now, but certainly in the country. But I think appreciation, people appreciated that mm-hmm. someone of his magnitude running for office would come down to little old Mobile, Alabama, and talk with the people, which that is that connection with the blue collar folks and people in rural areas, even though Mobile is not necessarily rural, but people came from all over
yeah.
our state and Mississippi to come down to it. People just appreciated that someone cared enough to come down.
Yeah,
and
so
that carried all the way through that election, obviously, and then
absolutely.
Continues to this day.
And so it's like not even, it wasn't his message that night. If you said 22,000, let's just say Sean was right on. If you had 22,000 people there, or maybe more, they were already attracted to his message in advance of that. They came to hear the message told to them directly.
Yeah.
Right? They already knew what the message was. They knew kind of who the man was. They knew what he was representing. And you're right. Basically, what he was representing was, you're getting jobbed, man. And I'm here to straighten it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And they lapped it up in Mobile and South Alabama. And the national press could not help but notice.
Yeah. I remember one of the big storylines then, because he was already talking about jobs leaving and had left America. But I think around that time, Nabisco was moving operations to Mexico, if you remember that.
Yes, I do.
Making the Oreos in Mexico. I remember him putting a line out there about that in that speech. But the endorsements also play an important role here. And while Jeff Sessions was a major part of that, Senator Sessions, and when he came out on the stage that first time, August 21st of 2015, I remember Trump, and John points out in the article, putting the MAGA hat on Sessions' head. Yep. What I had forgotten was he didn't actually fully endorse Trump until 6 months later
wow.
at a larger rally in Madison, Alabama. But John takes a pretty good portion of this article to point out one congressman, state congressman at that time, who endorsed Trump before anyone else.
Little-known state congressman.
Yeah, Barry Moore. And he was the first person to speak that night. I wouldn't have been able to remember to tell you that. And John writes about how that endorsement kind of came along. He and a few other state lawmakers were on an RV because at that time Moore was a state representative.
Yeah.
And we're coming up to the Trump rally when a campaign manager of Trump's came to the bus and said, hey, would any of you like to endorse Trump tonight? Moore said, Heather and I, his wife Heather Moore, Heather and I made a quick prayer. The weather wasn't great that day for an outdoor event, but the people were lined up and down the street. The guy just had special appeal. So he gets out there on the stage, makes the endorsement, and that very well could have and likely was the first endorsement from anyone in Congress. Now, even though he was a state representative, mm-hmm. any kind of politician, I believe that was the first full-on endorsement. I think that is going to play a pretty strong role in this Senate race that Moore is gearing up for here, too. So
Trump's going to return the favor.
Yeah, I would think so, right? Yep. You'd think. But just really interesting and great job from John Sharp to look back a decade ago. He also mentions what was going on with Hillary Clinton at that time, and now all that coming back around with the DOJ and Russiagate and everything. She was on vacation in the Hamptons while Trump was doing this. What she was trying to do was hide from the fallout of the email server scandal. An ABC News report from the next day, which would be today, 10 years ago, suggested that then-Democratic frontrunner Clinton was vacationing in the Hamptons. The report said that Clinton would likely soon take, quote, tough questions about her private email use dealing with governmental affairs. Trump's candidacy continued to ascend in the months to come. Clinton's also rose. It was challenged by progressive Democratic Senator Bernie Sanders. We all know what happened there. She used the DNC to push him out, and Clinton dogged by the email scandal the rest of the year. So really, really fun and interesting look back at 10 years ago and how things have changed or maybe not changed in some ways today.
And I may misremember this, as Roger Clemens famously said. Wasn't there a moment where Trump's plane flew over Ladd People's Stadium and landed at Brookley, not far away, and everybody knew who was on that plane?
It was then.
Do you remember that?
It was that rally.
That did happen.
You had Jeb Bush, who also paid for a plane to fly an anti-Trump banner behind it, but no one could see it. It was so far away. When Trump Force One pulled up, he did a kind of a low flyover. I remember the cheers when that was happening. Yeah.
Amazing. 10 years ago yesterday. 824, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. 827, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. What's going on?
Well, we have a breaking story here, and we'll try to get more information throughout the hour as we can. Jackson County Sheriff John Ledbetter, Jackson County, Mississippi, confirms there was a shooting at Ingalls Shipbuilding in Pascagoula. Shooting happened around 7:30 this morning, so about an hour ago. Sheriff Ledbetter said there was one victim. Their condition is unknown. There's currently a large law enforcement presence near the shipyard, and WLOX says they'll update that story as more info comes out. So one victim, condition unknown. Shooting happened about an hour ago there at the shipyard at Ingalls in Pascagoula, and hopefully it's not worse than that, and hopefully that victim is okay and the suspect has been apprehended or found. So there you go.
But there's no report that the suspect has been apprehended or found.
Right? No, that's all we have right now. Wow. So we'll keep you updated as that story moves along this hour.
We know so many South Alabamians work at Ingalls, so we understand the importance of that story.
Yeah, absolutely awful. Also, the text says, tell us what's going on with the raid at Bolton's house. Well, we opened the hour with that. It's about classified documents. Bolton apparently not arrested, but that raid is going on. And Trump yesterday said he would have a presser today at noon. I don't know if that's what it was going to be about or not, but maybe he'll speak more on that later.
I think Bolton was home at the time, but it was pretty early in the morning.
He was making war plans, I would imagine.
Or waffles.
Our next invasion. Or waffles.
Breakfast at Bolton's is war. It's called War Plans and Waffles.
Texter here. I was there. This is Joel. I was there to see Donald Trump the first go-around. Loved every minute of it. My whole family was. Prior to that, it was probably 15 years since I'd been to Ladd Peebles, and I haven't been back since. Said my family and I had seen people there that we haven't seen in years at the first Trump rally. It was awesome. Tony Ann, like Trump or not, it was an opportunity to see a possible U.S. president in person. I think a lot of people felt that same way, Tony Ann.
Wow. I'll tell you what, it's just amazing. 10 years ago. 8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, and more of your texts and calls if you want, 251-343-0106.
1035 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Congrats, we made it. And had some high school ball last night. More high school football coming tonight in waves tonight. Plenty of teams in action. And also college starting tomorrow with about five games. So we have officially made it. If football is your favorite sport, we've made it to your time of year. And also getting some good weather next week with a little bit lower humidity, but still some sun in the sky. So things are looking up for us here on the Gulf Coast as we head towards the end of August. Want to tell you about McConnell Automotive and Louis Arata, who does a great job with us when he comes on the air with us. Not on today, but I'll just tell you why I like McConnell Automotive so much. And that's, I mean, they're really a one-stop shop. And I talk about it with Louie all the time. Right now they're getting so many of the new 2026 models in that are just absolutely beautiful. And I can't believe the new tech that these companies come out with year after year. Just some really awesome stuff. But their pre-owned selection is incredibly expansive, and right now they have a ton of trucks on the ground there, many of them GM certified, which gets you 12-12 on that warranty. And a lot of those trucks you could be using if you're getting the fields ready for hunting, or maybe still hauling boats back and forth, or like me, maybe you're coaching a team and you need to get all the equipment in the back of that truck before you make
you're wedging this career move into the McConnell spots.
Yeah, you need a big truck bed to load all that equipment in those road games.
Flag football. No equipment needed.
Not much, just flags, really. So check them out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. They are really, really good at loading up that site and having all the information there. Actually, why don't we just check in really quickly with Louie now that I've already talked about it for a minute. Hey, Louie, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Y'all been talking about everything.
Yeah, talk about what I love about McConnell Automotive.
Louie, but I got to say, he's now a football coach, and he had to squeeze that into his commercial, and I thought that was a little offensive. I was a paying sponsor.
Yeah, I just said, need a truck to haul the equipment. Maybe you're a football coach like I am. Get from place to place. Quickly, Louie, let people know what you have on the lot there they might be interested in.
Hey, all you got to do is look at McConnellAutomotive.com. We got plenty of stuff out here. I'm sitting here looking at, we got over 30 trucks in stock. You know, hunting season right around the corner. We got plenty of four-wheel drives and two-wheel drives. So just won't make it long. Just come on by and see us.
All right. Hey, Louie, hope you have a great weekend. I know you'll be watching some high school ball tonight, but next week we get the big boys that get started in the SEC. So I know you're looking forward to that.
That's right. We got all the TVs all tuned up, ready to go.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Ratta. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website McConnellAutomotive.com.
To the text line, 251-343-0106, doesn't have Meta. We got another issue here. Can we start a petition to replace the Cracker Barrel cracker with a man? A kinder,
wasn't there already a man on the?
I don't, you know, I don't.
Sitting next to a barrel.
I don't know how that's woke, but I'm sure in some way it is. Anyway, a kinder, more friendly, older gentleman with a welcoming voice. I vote for Dan. So thank you. First of all, thank you for that. If that's your best
cracker,
relating to exactly who I am, I'm a kinder, older gentleman with a kinder voice or something like that. I'll take that. Number two, I'll take Cracker Barrel's money all day long if they want me to become the voice of Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I'm proud to, this is the first time we've brought up the Cracker Barrel controversy, and we won't talk about it long, but over the last 3 weeks, I think our show has talked about the Cracker Barrel thing, the Sydney Sweeney jeans,
yeah,
and maybe a couple other things less than any other show in the nation.
Yeah, so we have. There's a few things that we've done a good job of completely ignoring.
Yeah, so let the outrage machine outrage elsewhere.
Right.
We have plenty enough to be outraged about around here. Looking at the text, and then we'll get into this 1819 and Lanyap spat that's going on. Trace says, don't forget about Obama. He was in Theodore. He drove past... I don't understand.
Oh, yeah. No, he was in Theodore during the oil spill.
Obama was?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd forgotten that. Texter here, good morning, fellas. The bridge crews for the Bayway Bridge are doing such a great job that they sunk one of their small barges / rafts yesterday. Oh, my goodness. This is Angry Patriot. He said it can be seen on the westbound side. Have a great day. It sounds like I'd have to have a really bad day to have a worse day than that construction crew did yesterday. Wow. This Texter, I was a kid, but remember seeing Richard Nixon when he came to the state docks.
Huh.
And several other texts. 251-343-0106. So the latest on this Tony Kennan saga, and we talked with Rob Hulbert yesterday about the article that Lanyap put out earlier this week that included audio from Labor Day last year when Kennan was accused by someone of, well, you had a witness who said they saw a naked man punching a woman in the face several times on the balcony of what ended up being, allegedly, the Coastal Resources Center. And there was audio from the body cam footage of the witness putting that statement down, and then the officers going actually to the office where that was alleged to have happened. Tony Kennan answers but doesn't open the door. He looks through, according to Rob. Now, they only published the audio, but he was talking about some of the video there. I guess he pulled the curtain back and was speaking to the officers from there. So Kennan had not responded to that release until yesterday when 1819news.com, Erica Thomas, had a short but sit-down interview videoed with Tony Kennan and also his wife, Paula, sitting alongside him, answering questions from Erica. And let me just play this for you.
Yeah, I've read the article. I've not watched the video.
So here's about 4 minutes of that interview, just because we're both sizing it here. Everything that comes out, we're letting you know as we head into Tuesday. When Kennan speaks, we put out what he has to say. When new information comes out, we talk about that. Here's that sit-down interview. And they're doing it says Tony and Paula Kennan address allegations in an interview with 1819 News.
Paula, has he ever hit you?
That has never happened. As I've stated previously, it didn't happen that night. I don't see that ever happening. And I don't know what she saw. I can't speculate about what she saw other than what she said in her phone call. But it had nothing to do with us.
It says here, I didn't realize there'd be so much reading. On the night before Labor Day 2024, Orange Beach Police responded to the Coastal Resources Center in reference to a domestic disturbance call. Pretty much what I was just saying. Upon arrival, officers made contact with Mayor Kennan, who told them he was there with his wife. The Kennans deny any domestic violence situation occurred between them. That's what it says on the screen here in this video from 1819. Continue. And we continue.
Certainly the orchestra.
I guess I could have edited this.
The orchestra
does. Yeah. All right, next question.
Well, first off, the person said I hit her multiple times. If I had hit her multiple times, there would be marks, there would be pain, and most likely this was within, when we went back and looked at it, was within about less than 10 minutes from the call. So I would have think after that type of altercation, we both would have been still amped up, or I don't know, or we would have been intoxicated, but if you just listen to the tape, you'll see that, no, everything was perfectly calm, perfectly okay. At least that's the way it sounded to me. I mean,
well, that's the way it was. Yeah. I mean, and nothing happened. So, I didn't think anything of it. So once we heard the tape again, I mean, we got our stuff together. We're home, went to sleep, got up the next day and went to work. Didn't think anything about it, you know.
Back to the orchestra. It says here an audio recording of the interaction has been leaked. The Kennans believe for political purposes.
So that's the problematic part of this. Somebody is politicizing it and trying to make it into something it wasn't.
I mean, our family's very close, so closeness has not changed. But it's we've been angry and upset that he has to walk into a room and, you know, people think this horrible thing about him or are suspicious of it. And I know how that just, it tears him up inside. So it tears me up inside because I'm just angry about it.
It says, Paula Kennan says no one making allegations that she's a domestic violence survivor has reached out to her with concern.
So I just don't think they even believe it. Or I would have thought that they would have reached out. Somebody would have, you know. So I know that they don't even think it's true.
During the election cycle, the Kennans have faced many more criminal and ethical allegations, including being friends with... Hold on. Because that was a twist. So this is part of this, too, that people are bringing up. I have no clue about this until yesterday I heard Sean and Erica start to talk about it. During this election cycle, the Kennans have faced many more criminal and ethical allegations, including being friends with a sexual predator and using police vehicles to bar hop. Now, the police vehicles allegation had heard that, but sexual predator thing, I have no clue what that's about. Maybe some of you do. I don't know. I don't.
I think there's a legitimate cabal in this city that wants me out of office. And I don't know whether it's because I'm so far such a conservative. I don't know whether it's because I stand really strong on my beliefs. I just don't know. I really don't know.
I think sometimes they're just, in this situation, they just think it's their turn. And they don't want to wait anymore. And they had a plan, and they wanted to, and they just, it seems like they're going to do whatever they have to do, put out whatever they have to put out, lie about what they have to you know, step on up to the next level, is what it seems like to me.
It just goes back. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. And every bit of it, completely and totally false. I mean, say that kind of thing in social media, and those that don't really know right or don't know the truth will listen to them. No, there's no ethics violation. There's no criminal. There's nothing here whatsoever. And all this other stuff is theatrics. It's nothing more than political mudslinging theatrics, is all it is.
Yeah, that might be the end of it there. So, that's the Kennans addressing these allegations. Now, what's happened online since on Facebook, and I won't read any of them verbatim, but basically you have some of the folks from Lanyap saying that this was more or less a campaign ad. And I thought the music, yeah, definitely, like maybe just give us the interview and the answers without the music behind it. That kind of made it sound campaign-y in a way, but... You know,
Dramatic.
Thank you. Erica was, asking the questions mm-hmm. that needed to be asked. Maybe there certainly could have been some more follow-up questions. I don't know how that all went down. But you have the Lanyap folks, at least some of them, saying they seem to be pretty upset that 1819 maybe got this sit-down and didn't maybe ask the questions the same way that Lanyap would have liked to have seen the questions asked.
Like Tony Kennan went to a more favorable
outlet
to tell his side of the story. That's what they're thinking for sure. Also, did you notice in some of the answers, Tony's wife was saying they think it's their time. You know, he talked about this cabal in the mm-hmm. city, and they think it's their time, and they being the only thing I can think they are is. Really, the opponent, his opponent in this race, that he has bided his time and mm-hmm. waited for the opportunity.
That's what I was thinking. They were talking about Boyd there.
Boyd,
maybe,
right.
When they were discussing that. And there's more in the article that Erica writes about as far as the Coastal Resource Office with Kennan saying, I've never spent the night there. You have nothing in there. It's just a desk and chairs, an empty office. When he said, this is our weekend getaway, what I meant was we come over to our property. I just happened to be there changing clothes that night. So they have some property, they're saying, I guess right there nearby, and we're just using the office to change clothes. You heard Paula Kennan answer when asked about whether she had been hit by Mayor Kennan. She said, that has never happened. Didn't happen that night. I don't see that ever happening. She said, I thought this too. Paula Kennan said no one making allegations has reached out to her to see if she is okay. And you heard that in the video there. As an attorney, Paula Kennan said she knows some women are trapped in domestic abuse, and it angers her that those victims may be discouraged from asking for help because of how she has been treated. Quote, so that's another reason this is suspicious, is that if that was truly what they thought was the case, you would think because that's a serious situation that a lot of women find themselves in. Not me. If that was something that they really thought would have happened or was happening in our lives, they would have reached out. And I also thought interesting that Tony Kennan in the story, where is it? Let me find the part here where I thought he basically said, you know, if there was someone else out there, and I've completely lost my spot in the story, if there was someone else getting beaten that night.
Right. He said if... Basically what he was saying, and I know, I wish I could find it too. We've been jumping all around here. If there was something like that, that kind of activity happened that night, that it was not him and his wife, but if something like that was going on, I guess he kind of speculated that
could have been happening outside,
could,
but
could
it
have been
wasn't
somebody else.
Yeah.
When him.
What a strange situation we've found ourselves in with this Orange Beach mayoral race heading to Tuesday's election.
And between Lagniappe and 1819.
And now you have Lagniappe and 1819. I don't know if they're warring or I don't know if they're like at media battle right now, but certainly a lot online yesterday with at least Lagniappe kind of going after 1819 for that whole thing. A couple texters here we'll get to before the break. Jason says, sounds like an 1819 versus Lagniappe cage match upcoming.
Kind of does.
Let's see. The Real Sam. Hey, guys, having lived in Gulf Shores for a number of years, I've always heard that Tony Kennan is a pretty crazy kind of guy. He said maybe he was wearing a flesh-colored Speedo, and the girl just kind of thought he was naked. I think he also said that in the interview that he was wearing swimsuit, and that may have been, he said he was wearing a swimsuit, and maybe someone saw him in that and thought he was naked.
He was changing out of the swimsuit. They were at a pool earlier that was at that property, something like that.
Yeah. Michael says, Lagniappe may have reported it when they were told, but they are happy to be used as Kennan's opponent as a tool to attack him. They are happy to be the ones that are trying to throw dirt at Kennan. Butterknife says 1819 is more of a mouthpiece for whoever they want to get elected. They have a dog in the hunt. Look at the Fairhope Library issues. They don't give you the news. They make things slanted to fit their opinion. Well, I will say 1819 definitely writes for a certain constituency, and that's generally a conservative constituency.
Sure.
It's a conservative news website. So on the Fairhope Library issue, they're taking the conservative stance on that, which I think not just a lot of their readers, but a lot of the people that vote around here are right in line with them on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, with that story, that's they're taking the stance you would expect.
On the Fairhope Library issue. Now, for the Kennan thing, Lagniappe's right that 1819 hasn't really covered the nuts and bolts of that from the get-go, but Lagniappe's really been the only one that has been outside of one statement that was given to Gulf Coast Media by Kennan early on in this thing.
They're getting the leaks, right? They're receiving the leaks,
info. Yeah,
the info and the audio video. They're getting it. That's why they're, you know, then they're using it.
King of All Unnamed Texter says, what's up with the dramatic music? Yeah, I'm not sure. It was kind of I'll have to ask Erica about that at some point. Maybe that we'll get the full video, the full interview without the music, but I don't know. Might have to hear from Jeff Poor coming up here. If that comes up at all in his show, I'm not sure. But that's kind of what's going on right now. You have the response from Kennan on 1819 News. Now you have a lot of Lagniappe folks upset at 1819. And the election can't get here fast enough, Dan. We have people fighting each other now.
It is. There's a lot going on. And meanwhile, we're not nearly having as bad a morning as John Bolton, whose house is being raided by the feds. It is 8:53, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwick. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:56. You've got an update from Ingalls?
Yeah, we sure do. And a very serious situation going on at Ingalls Shipbuilding in Pascagoula. Latest from WLOX, an Ingalls Shipbuilding spokesperson confirmed an active shooter at the shipyard. Quote, we are urging all personnel to shelter in place and to await further instructions.
Gosh.
Law enforcement was promptly notified and is currently at the shipyard and responding to the situation. We will provide updates as soon as we have more information. Our focus right now is on managing the immediate situation and ensuring the safety of everyone on site. So our report from WLOX a little earlier in this hour, at that point, you just had the sheriff coming out and saying the shooting happened around 7:30 this morning. Sheriff Ledbetter said the condition of the shooting victim is unknown. Here's another updated statement. Quote, it's too early to provide specifics on casualties or injuries. Our primary concern is the safety and security of our personnel, and we are focusing on managing and resolving this situation. There's currently a large law enforcement presence near the shipyard. Ingalls officials said they're doing everything possible to ensure the safety of employees. And, yeah, we are praying hard here, too, at FM Talk 106.5 that this is as limited and a shooting event as there could be, but it sounds like the situation is still ongoing over there in Pascagoula.
Terribly sad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you see these, and then suddenly it's at a place where so many people work in your community.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like a news story as much like a complete
punch in the gut tragedy, right?
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get more information on that throughout the day, and it'll be provided on our airs and with the WKRG news updates. Coming up, we have the Jeff Poor Show. Hour number one, he'll have Todd Stacey on from Alabama Daily News. Adam Gillette joins Jeff in hour two, and then State Senator Chris Elliott in hour number three. And that does it for us. This is the last weekend before the municipal elections coming up on Tuesday. Have you figured out who you're voting for yet? I know a lot of people that have not. They've maybe narrowed it down to two.
Yep. That's not good enough.
And we're just days away, so you better think hard on it this weekend.
It is 8:59 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. What a morning it has been. What a morning it has been. Again, we'll keep you updated on what's going on in Ingalls. Keep it here.